Don't call me a mixologist. Despite being a former World Mixologist of the Year, Nick Strangeway prefers to be known as a bartender, but the sort that likes to make drinks with his own tinctures, cordials and bitters, that sort of bartender. So naturally his eyes lit up when faced with the East Cork delights of the Herb Garden at Ballymaloe. Culturefile's Caroline Hennessy strolled along to see what new feats of bartending the plants there might inspire.
Nick Strangeway, we're standing here in the gardens at Ballymaloe, birds singing, a little bit cloudy today, but your hand, you've got herbs.
I'm starting to go around the garden and collect some ingredients. This garden is a pleasure to be in and an inspiration to be in. And I want to sort of like impress people with what they can do by coming into a garden, picking some simple things and then infusing it into their drinks and their cocktails.
So, Nick, you're not a cook. What are you?
I make drinks. I mean, I don't want to use the word mixologist because I think it's crass and overblown. I started as a barman. I still work with bars. And I'm very much influenced by cooks and chefs. So I do spend a lot of time in the kitchen making ingredients to put into drinks for people to enjoy.
And what kind of ingredients? Because, as you say, we're here in the garden. It's, you know, we're not talking about dried spices or herbs or things like that. We're talking about things that are very fresh.
You know, this garden, I've used this garden over the course of a year because I come out here quite a lot to do education. And in November, we struggle a little bit. But it's just beginning to really show the sort of things we can use. So even just in my hand, I've only walked for a couple of seconds. There are a couple of things. I've got a really nice variety of mint. And if you're going to grow mint, you don't want to grow the stuff you can buy in your supermarket. So this is a variegated one, which has a slightly more citrus note to it. So you grow ingredients that offer something different to a drink. Everyone can make a mojito with mint they buy from the supermarket, but if you grow a slightly different mint, you'll add a different flavour note to that drink. And in my left hand, I've got a wonderful thing called Sweet Sicily, which in the harvest here at the moment, it's actually got starting to get some seed pods on it. It's got the flowers on it. It's a great decoration in a drink. But not only is it a great decoration, it adds subtle nuances of aniseed to drinks. It's very, very sweet by nature. Pairs really, really well with rhubarb. So we make a little rhubarb puree or syrup with, and then add a little bit of this to it. You just get this lovely little anise note, which you can't get in another way. You could add an aniseed liqueur or something like that, but it would not have the same quality as this. And I think there's just something that I really enjoy coming to gardens. It takes you back to actually how I believe humans should be, which is there should be this pastoral side to our life. You know, and when I started doing this, I did live in, you know, the darkest east end of London. I used to spend my time walking around, finding little pastoral places and getting things to use in bars. Now, it wasn't sustainable. I couldn't stock my whole bar with the fruits or the herbs that I found in the hedgerows of London, but in the, you know, the parks of London that I used to go steal from. But I could occasionally just offer something very different to the guys who came in as my consumers and also enjoy a really good walk and find some interesting ingredients that I couldn't grow myself. Bars can be a little samey, and they do the same thing all the time, and to just add that 20% difference is going to make it a nicer experience, I think, for all around.
So say now, for instance, with the mint, you talked about mojito, the Sweet Sicily, putting up rhubarb, and what will that turn into drinks-wise?
I mean, we can make lots of different things. I mean, there's a trend for sort of like Negronis and very bitter drinks. So you could use the rhubarb as just a small sweetening agent in a sort of like Negroni-style drink and add the Sweet Sicily into it and take out the Campari and add in some vermouth and some gin. It's really good in a long gin sour as well. So if gin as a base, rhubarb syrup that's got this little bit of anise in it, a little bit of lemon juice, topped with soda water, and then garnish with this stuff. Because, again, the great thing about these fresh herbs is they're wonderful garnishes. So when you look at a drink, you see something that you're attracted to. You get your nose near the drink, and before you actually even get the drink into your mouth, you have this wonderful aroma coming off it. And that, I think, is one of the things that makes a mojito such a great drink, is the aroma of the mint before you get to the drink. But with something, the great thing about this garden, it's full of herbs that will add other notes to it. So the Sweet Sicily will add this anise thing. You could go get fennel, and it will add the same sort of thing. Or you could get chocolate mint and add this lovely chocolatey note to it. It's all about aroma as well. And then, obviously, the beauty of them is, you know, we're looking at them. They are stunning-looking plants, and they'll make drinks look that much better. Right. If we go up here, we get marjoram.
Oh, that's a beautiful golden marjoram.
Yeah. So we'll grab a little bit of the marjoram. And we'll take the sage as well. We will take a little bit of young lavender.
That's very young. Not even flowering yet.
It's not even flowering yet. But it would hopefully be a little more subtle as well in the drink, which is quite good. Go back down this way.
You've got a lovely little bouquet, or would that be a tussy mussy?
I don't know, what-y?
Tussy mussy is a word for bouquet of herbs.
Oh, is it?
That they used to carry around in plague times and smell rather than picking up the plague.
Well, I can't remember what the nose shape is when you see those pictures of Venetian balls. But again, they would have been crammed full of herbs and juniper to prevent the plague. Now, I need some mint, and I can't quite remember where they were growing the mint. They may actually be back in the greenhouse.
We're in the greenhouse now.
Yeah, it's nice and peaceful again now.
People have forgotten even that gin is, you know, it's not just juniper. It's such a selection of aromatic.
There are so many things in there, inside gin. And in lots of things that people naturally drink, they are unaware of all the ingredients that go into making them. And again, I think gin's a very interesting category because there are so many new gins coming out that, again, are almost working like this. They're trying to capture a particular place, you know. So there's, I think it's Blackwoods up in Orkney or Shetland. There's a Cambridge Gin Company who goes around, again, foraging like we do, and he picks each individual ingredient and he uses modern technology to capture those flavours. So he actually uses vacuum distillation to capture individual flavours that he then puts back together. So it's actually much more like perfume making. And it does capture that place, that sense of place.
So do you think you're going to make a perfume with the whiskey out of all of this?
I think the great thing is we'll make something that will be interesting. And I hope that people appreciate that they're just walking around a garden, actually just walking around the city a lot of the time. The beech bushes over there. There's a recipe for something called beech noyer, which I'd only never made before. And basically, beech leaves grow at this time of year. They're available everywhere. You have to take them when they're very, very young. You put them into neutral alcohol or gin, if you happen to have gin. It's always quite good to use. Leave it for about 3 or 4 weeks, and you get this lovely green colour. Then you add a little bit of extra sugar, some cognac or brandy or whiskey, as we're here in Ireland, we'd add some whiskey and some water. And what you actually get is you get this tonka bean flavour. Because the beech leaf, when it's really young, actually contains coumarin, which is the chemical that makes a tonka bean smell like a tonka bean. It's also in sweet woodruff, melliot grass, bison grass, the vodka has something sweet vernal grass in it, which has this coumarin in it as well. So it's a flavour that we all like, but it's actually in something as common as the beech leaf. Very, very easy to do. 3 or 4 weeks' time, you've got this great liqueur that you've made yourself from something as prosaic as a beech tree. You know, I mean, they're all over the place. Every park in London has them. Every park around Ireland has them. Nobody's going out and picking them. You don't have to take too much to make it, but it's just to make something really, really interesting.
Well, I tell you, Nick, after that walk around the garden, I'm certainly looking forward to being able to go into my local bar and find the beech noyer or an infused whiskey. And thank you very much for taking me on the guided walk.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Remember, use beech leaves responsibly. Bartender and forager Nick Strangeway there on new sources of cocktail flavour.